Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport to myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and you love your MMA, then obviously this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra, myself, Adi Oladipo, will be discussing all the latest from the world of combat sports. This week, Gareth is on his way back from Japan, so I'm delighted to welcome in British lightweight former world title challenger Natasha Jonas, who'll be alongside myself for the next hour. On the agenda today, we're going to be looking back on a busy weekend of action in Headingley. Fantastic, fantastic atmosphere. We're going to talk about that. Disappointment, obviously, for Josh Warrington, whose return to the ring ended after just two rounds due to that medical stoppage. Elsewhere, there were wins for Katie Taylor and Conor Benn. We'll discuss what could be next for both of them. And it was also a big night in the UFC as well, especially for the City of Liverpool. Debutant Paddy the Baddy Pimlet won. So did Molly McCann, and she stole the show for me. Don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2.
Confirmation from the referee, Steve Gray. What a disappointing end to a night that we've been looking forward to for so long. It was a clash of heads, and because of the nature of the injury, it's been declared a technical draw.
She's still undefeated and still the undisputed lightweight champion of the world, Katie Taylor.
Granados prefers to get on his bike as the bell sounds at the end of 10 rounds. A solid test for Conor Benn.
He's still undefeated and still the WBA Continental Welterweight Champion, Conor the Destroyer Benn!
2-0 for Liverpool out of the chute tonight.
Walked through some adversity, but that right hook lands, he knows he's got him hurt and swarms all over him. Look at the speed and the ferocity when he lets that hands go. And Luigi here trying to hang on for dear life and wait for
it. Under an avalanche.
Boom! There it is.
Look at Molly McCann from the back, come to yell for her teammate. I mean, what a way to make your UFC debut.
Loads, and I mean loads, to get our team stuck into. Before we talk all or anything about boxing or MMA, let's say hello and introduce our guest presenter today, our guest co-presenter today, Tasha Jonas, who joins us now. Tash, I'm enjoying this. I mean, is Gareth going to be away for a couple more weeks? Is this a permanent thing now? How are you, Tash?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all good. Yeah, you can have me when you want. Just let me know.
We'll sort something out. I'm sure we can maybe get rid of Gareth for a couple of weeks here, but I think we can sort something. Tasha, look, you would have watched all the action at Headingley. First and foremost, I was there. The atmosphere, I don't know if you've been to a Josh Warrington fight. You probably have. Crazy. It was manic.
I mean, you know, we talk about cities that support their own. Liverpool's one of them. Leeds and probably Newcastle are the two that are very, very close behind, and they come out in force. They're a crazy bunch, but they're loyal as anything.
They are, right? I mean, win or lose, they will still come out for him, and no doubt they're going to come out for him again in the future. What a disappointing way to end the fight. I mean, it was just get going. I was actually a bit nervous for Josh because I was like, okay, Josh is starting to stand there and trade with Lara now, and this could get dangerous. And then obviously a clash of heads, two clash of heads, and in the end it had to be stopped. But so disappointing because it was starting to build up to something a bit special on Saturday.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's the, you know, when you're seeing the cut, I was thinking, please don't stop it, please don't stop it. And then I seen the cut and I was thinking, he has to stop it because it was such a wide cut and it was the whole length of his eyebrow.
Yeah.
So there was really no way you could have continued. But it's disappointing for the fighters, you know, you've trained, you know, 10, 12, whatever, however many weeks to be there, probably since the last time for Josh. And yeah, for it to end like that, where there's not really an outcome, is a little bit disappointing.
You know, I'm happy you said disappointing for the fighters, because there's people, including myself, that'll be like, oh, it's disappointing for the fans. Because like, obviously they're the one that have paid the hard-earned cash. But you're right. I mean, for the fighters who've trained 12, sometimes maybe even a bit longer, 16-week camps, the last thing you want is a two-rounder. You don't want that, right? You don't want it to be stopped like that. Do you think Josh will be thinking, I need to get out ASAP now? Even if it's an 8-rounder or a 10-rounder, like, I just need to have a fight just because I'm in shape and I want to go.
Yeah, I know the type of person and athlete that Josh is. He'll want to be active, and that was one of the reasons that he signed with Matrium, was to, you know, have them big nights, have them big fights, and be more active and challenge at, like, you know, the world. He already had a world title, but challenge others for the world title. He wants to more than just one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. His time with Matchroom, obviously, look, he lost in his first fight back with Matchroom, and this one ends in a couple of rounds. He'd be hoping that his third fight, I mean, he can actually get out for the full 10 and it'd be victorious, sorry, full 10 or 12. You would have obviously kept a close eye on Katie Taylor versus Jennifer Han. That was the co-main event. Jennifer Han's story is crazy. I mean, this girl, she had a baby 7 months ago. Not only is she in shape, she's in fighting shape. And look, I put my hands up. You mums are stronger than anything out there. I mean, that's incredible. What did you make of Katie's performance?
You know what? In fairness to Katie, we expect such a high level of her all the time. Mm. And that doesn't always happen. It can't happen all the time for every boxer. So I think it wasn't the greatest performance, but she'll come back and do better.
Let me speak for a couple of minutes. Get some water in you. And I agree with you, with Katie as well, by the way, that we expect so much. Obviously, look, unbeaten and, you know, the queen of boxing. You know, is she the number one? Is it her, Clarissa Shields? Regardless, she's number one or two. And maybe we do expect a performance after performance, like the Delphine Pasoon, like her fight with you, which was just a war. And we can't get that all the time. We don't get that from male boxers. So I don't know why we assume that we're always going to get it from female boxers. I think it's unfair. But I don't know. There were a few people saying, have we seen the best of Katie now? I don't know if I agree with that. Sometimes I think she rises to her opponent, but have we seen the best? I mean, you've been in there with her. I mean, is this the Katie Taylor that came out of the amateurs fast and explosive? Or are we starting to see a little bit of slippage maybe?
I would like to think not. But, you know, decline happens to every athlete, unfortunately. Sometimes it can be just the event.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that she underestimates anyone, because she's not that type of person, but some boxers can only get up for the big occasions.
When you looked at it, Tash, were you thinking, you know, potentially I want to go in there again? Like, it's a fight that I called that should happen again, because I thought the fight between you two was so good and it would have been so better for me with fans there as well. I think people forget there was no fans when you fought her. Is it a fight you're thinking, okay, you know what, I can do that again? I know Eddie announced a 140-pound tournament. Jessica McCaskill was ringside as well. So literally every boxer in and around your weight class was there or thereabouts. You should have turned up, Tash. You should have turned up and said something to some of them. Did you look at Katie and think, I could go in there with her again? Or are you kind of setting your mind elsewhere now?
No. I definitely want that fight. For me, I think, why challenge for one title or two titles when you can challenge for them all, personally? And not only that, but, you know, take down the pound for pound best female on the planet in the process. I'd love the fight to happen again. Will it happen? I'm not sure. But, you know, there is super fights out there now that, you know, people are invested in and want to see.
Mm. Well, I'm going to speak to you a bit later about fighter pay, because I want to talk about Molly McCann and the 50,000 that she got for the bonus. I know everyone's excited about it, but I feel like there's a deeper conversation there. What I do want to ask, though, and I spoke to Jessica about this as well, is about fighter pay for females. Where is it? Because on the outside looking in, you just mentioned super fights, and for me, there are so many super fights that can be made right now, but at the same time, you need to get paid to have these super fights, right? I mean, you girls are doing what they ask. You're putting bums on seats. I mean, people are buying the pay-per-views, people are buying the tickets. Where is it now? Is it a place where it's climbing? Are you still wanting more? Where is it?
I think, boxing's obviously a business like most sports. everyone at the base level is paid the same, which is great.
Yeah.
But then the lads kind of move up the ladder a bit quickly, more quickly than the females do. And obviously their pay moves with them.
Mm.
So sometimes Katie, it's hard to base yourself off Katie because she was her own, you know,
yeah,
entity within itself.
Of
she
course.
Was already a superstar from amateur boxing and Ireland beyond before going to Matchroom.
Yeah.
But I think what she did do was open people's eyes to like female boxing and how good it is at elite level. And a lot of females now want to follow the likes of her, the likes of Clarissa in that sense. And the only way we can get to that stage where we're paid the same as the men is when the promotion is equal to the men. The same way, you know, Bawati, who's, you know, coming off an Olympian, will, you know, is the same as other females. Will a Lauren Price get the same? Would a Karis get the same? You know, and that's the difference at the minute, is that people are coming from the same places but not promoted kind of the same.
No, you're right. And like, I witnessed that myself. I mean, are those girls going to get the same push that Ben Whitaker's getting right now? Right? And he's getting a really big push. Both McCormack brothers, and credit to them. Again, they're getting really big pushes as well. Just before we go break, I just want to touch on Conor Benn and that, some might say, scrappy win over Granados. In the end, look, he does 10 rounds and he needed the rounds for me. He's got a win. He moves on. Knowing Conor the way I do, I know he's livid that he didn't get the knockout. What did you make of the performance, though?
So I'm going to be dead honest. Because I was flickering back to and from the UFC, I didn't see the whole fight in its entirety.
Mm.
But from what I saw, you know, when you step up levels, you can't knock everybody out. That's just a simple given.
Yeah.
You're not going to do. And we did it in the first round last time out, but he showed things that he hadn't shown before. And I think that's more important when you want to go on and challenge the likes of your Broners, your Carnes, your Errol Spencers, because they're the people that he's looking at.
Yeah.
So you have to show things and go through things, I think, as a boxer before you can get to that top level, because all them top people have.
What do you think about the Broner fight? There's been talks about it. Conor's been tweeting about it as well. He's starting to grow legs, to be honest with you. Obviously, this is no longer the Broner of a few years ago. But in terms of selling a fight, no one can probably sell a fight better than Broner. Do you think Conor Benn's ready for that kind of step up now?
I believe so. I mean, like I said before, it's a business. There's fights that fans want to see and there's fights that make business sense. And the Broner fight is a fight that, you know, he's a good name. He's been a world champion, a former world champion. He's still active. He's still competing. So for Ben, as steps go, that's a good step to take. It's not a hard fight to sell. It's, you know, from Matchroom's point of view. So it's a fight that can be made. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you indeed? We'll see what Conor Benn does next.
There's fights here that people want to see. Like, you know, they want to see the McKinson. I see people, well, I see Marku every day, almost tweeting him. So, you know, that, I know he wants that fight, but, you know, the Broner fight, if you're looking from a Benn's perspective, makes more sense.
Yeah, agreed. I think it could be a special one as well if he gets the chance, especially if it's in America as well. Quick shout out as well, and I've got to mention this guy's name, Maxie Hughes. We've got a fantastic win against Giovanni Straffon, IBO lightweight champion now. It's almost a Cinderella story with Maxie. I mean, this guy was going to retire after losing to Sam Bowen. He's had a couple of big wins, and now he's world champion. And I know people might snigger at the IBO belt, but I saw him in the change room after, and I mean, he's in tears. That's how much it means to him. So credit to Maxie Hughes as well on winning that world title. All right, you're listening to Fighter Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, it's in partnership with DAZN. Your boxing, your way, DAZN game change. After the break, we're going to ask what next for Josh Warrington after that draw at the weekend.
But tonight,
referee Steve Gray has decided to wave it off. And now, because he ruled that it was from a clash of heads, this then will be declared a no contest. But a disappointing end for Josh Warrington and for Lara.
He's built himself up to tonight. Tonight was the night where he was supposed to exorcise the demons of what happened at fight camp, and that's not necessarily been the case.
Good first two rounds, and I'm gutted because I just think it would have been such a good fight. I thought Josh Warrington looked really good. Different fighter tonight.
So I expect
that when the dust settles on this, even though they're talking about a third fight, which obviously they're going to have, I expect Eddie Hearn will announce a fight for him, I reckon, in the next couple of months. I mean, there's loads of fights out there for Franklin.
All right, it's Final Extra with myself, Adil Adupo, former world title. I say former, she's a world title challenger, Tasha Jonas. Right, let's take a look back at the fights over the weekend in partnership with DAZN.
Big Fight Review on TalkSport 2 with DAZN. Your boxing, your way. Download the DAZN app or visit DAZN.com.
All right, Tash, let's talk about Josh Warrington and what he does next. I almost feel like I was never a fan of him actually taking the rematch with Mauricio Lara. I was screaming like, you don't need to do it. Sometimes stylistically, you get an opponent that's a bit awkward and you can swerve him. I mean, Amir Khan famously did it with Bredas Prescott, right? He could have gone in there again. It's like, yeah, don't fancy that. Let's kind of go somewhere else. And Amir Khan's career after that was a very good career, successful, had some really good fights. For Josh now, you don't have to go there again, right? Lara's going to need to take at least, I don't know, a month, 2 months off to get the eye healed. And then it's going to be a while before they can go in again. Do you think there needs to be a trilogy? Or can you see maybe Warrington potentially taking a Kid Galahad or a Lee Wood fight?
I definitely, with Josh being who he is, he will want the fight. Whether, I don't think that'll be next, though. I think he will go for the likes of, you know, Kid Galahad, Lee Wood, you know, there's Leo Santa Cruz, because that's what he signed for Matchroom 4.
Yeah.
So it makes sense as an athlete wanting them fights. But then, like I said, you know, business-wise and you know, title-wise, it makes sense to go for the others.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Kid Galahad fighting, whether it be in Sheffield or Leeds, is massive. Lee Wood now world champion, right? I think I heard that the WBA are going to strip Leo Santa Cruz. So he's going to be a legit world champion. So he's potentially, it's not bad to have these options. Potentially he's got two world title fights and he can have his pick of both just because he is the big ticket seller and the big draw. Before I ask you which one makes more sense, what did you make of Josh's performance? I know it was only a couple of rounds, but what was you thinking about the performance?
Before the fight, I was really worried for every reason that you said, because it still, for me, was a 50-50 fight.
Mm.
Obviously, I 100% wanted Josh to win, but Lara's tough. He can punch and he's dangerous. So no matter what round it is, at any given moment, he's got that power, that one punch power to be able to be devastating. So, and it was... There was parts where I was a bit nervy. I was like, all right, please don't do that. Please, box, because he can box. But obviously, when people say things like, oh, you know, you've got no chin.
Yeah.
So that plays on your mind.
Mm.
And you'll stand there and think, I'm gonna show all these people that I've got a chin. And you start standing there trading, which is exactly what Khan did. People were saying, oh, he's a great boxer, speedy, you know, he's got great movements, got fast hands, but he's got no chin. So then for some of his fights, he stood there with big bangers and like didn't use his assets, and I think sometimes like that can happen. And I think, I don't say it was starting to happen with Josh, but I just think you just didn't need to be there. So don't be there. Like, stick to the game plan. And, you know, what happened in the end, when that was just unfortunate.
Yeah, and that's what scared me about this fight for Josh, especially in front of fans. Obviously, look, behind closed doors, and you fought there, so you know the experience. I almost felt like with 20,000 fans, they're going to roar him on to go and have a war. And I felt like he came out and it was a crazy atmosphere, and he got into the ring. And, you know, Josh Warrington, he can punch, but he's not, you look at the record, he's not necessarily known as a banger. And I'm like, Josh, why are you staying there having a phone booth fight with this guy? Get on your bike and move a bit. But I felt maybe the crowd were kind of asking him to sort of obey in for blood, and he was almost giving it to them. And I thought that was dangerous. Let's hear, though. I've got a little clip here of Josh Warrington. Let's hear from Josh following the fight of the weekend. Josh Warrington admitted that he needs to move on with his career because, look, he isn't getting any younger.
I'm going to have to sit down with my team and just thrash it out, because obviously I'm thinking, right, third fight has to be, I need to, you know, get out, clean that slate, beat every man that I've stepped in the ring with. And I wanted to get the W against Mauricio Lara. You know, I keep having it in my head that Michael Buffer was going to say that at the end of the fight. He has beaten every man he has stepped in the ring with. He has his redemption. And obviously he didn't get to say that. But then... in realistic terms, that cut is not going to heal overnight. He's looking at maybe at least 6 weeks before he even gets into the gym. And I had 7 months out in between the last fight and this one, so how much longer am I going to have to wait before we have a rematch? And I ain't getting any younger. You know, I re-signed with Eddie Hearn when I was 28. I'm 31 this year.
That's crazy. Re-signed with Eddie Hearn when he was 28. He's 31 in a few months and he's only had 2 fights. And I'm with him, Tesh. I think he does need to kind of just move on with his career. Fingers crossed it's another fight this year. Obviously, Eddie's got dates coming up. I don't know why he can't get on the October 9th card in an 8-rounder or anything, just to have something, just to get that feeling of having a scrap underneath your belt. But he does need to fight. If it is Lee Wood or Gallagher, which one would you prefer?
I think for the fans, I think the Galahad one is big. If you're looking at who you think is probably the weakest,
yeah,
you would probably, with no disrespect, have to say Lee Wood. And like, listen, you're at world level. No title fight is going to be easy. But if you're looking at the weakest in that list, then that's who you're probably going to say. But the ones that, you know, is a big seller, if people want to see the rematch, then you're probably saying Galahad.
Yeah, and Galahad looked really, really good against Jazza Dickens. There is talk as well, to be fair, of Lee Wood and the rematch with Zhu Kan, or Kan Zhu, as some say, or even maybe America. Gary Russell Jr. is there as well. We don't know what Gary's doing. Gary likes to fight once a year, so maybe he's had his fight for 2021 already, so we move on from that with Gary. I want to go further down the card and talk about Conor Benn, just because a lot of hype about Conor right now, right? In terms of the next guy from Britain that maybe fills out the O2 arena or goes and does good things in America. A lot of people are looking at Conor like that. There has been talks about Broner, maybe even Sean Porter, I think's a bit too much personally. Josh Kelly's there as well. Amir Khan. What next for Conor, do you think? Where should he be looking? Or where should Eddie and the team be looking at?
I definitely think he's moving in the right direction. The Broner, I think, maybe at this stage, Khan's too much, Porter's too much. Mm. You know, you Gas and your Spencers, for me, are a league of their own.
You think so, Khan's too much, yeah, Tesh? You think Khan's too much for Conor?
I just think with the levels that he's been at, he's been out for a long time. So does he get a warm-up fight and then fight Conor? Mm. Or does he just go straight into Conor? And I think, you know, that fight all depends on which Khan comes, you know, and how hungry he is. But I just in the levels of where they've been, I do think the Khan one is a little step too far.
What's a bigger fight now financially, Amir Khan versus Kell Brook or Amir Khan versus Conor Benn?
Probably Conor Benn.
Yeah, interesting.
I just think the Brook one's had it today. Yeah. I think people will watch it. Don't get me wrong. 100%. People will moan about it. It should have been done 2 years ago. It should have been done this time. It should have been and everyone will have their moments, but you'll still watch it because you'll still want to see. 100%. And that's exactly what it is. But if you're talking about relevance and whatever, then the bigger name at this, or the bigger fight, I think, is the Benn fight,
It's crazy, right? That shows how big Conor Benn's rise in the last sort of year and a half has gone, maybe since that Sebastian Formella win. Do you look at Conor and think, I get excited about Conor, not just because from a boxing standpoint, but you know, he's got his own YouTube channel, he knows how to self-promote, obviously he's got the Benn name, and I kind of get excited thinking he's got everything, good-looking kid as well, that can maybe get there. But from a boxing ability, and you would have watched a lot of his fights, do you see enough to think potentially that he can go to those heights?
Yeah, I think with the right fights and the right course, the right fight is basically it. Would he ever beat Spence? I don't know, because I think for me he's one of the top pound for pound fighters in the world. So that's just unfortunate that he's in, you know, that bracket of people, but definitely he could get to world level. He's almost there. So it's not a point of can he's literally almost there. You know, two or three more fights, he's going to be in the mix with the likes of that.
And I guess the danger is, in those two or three more fights, you are looking at guys like Kavialeskas, you're looking at guys like Avanesian. So that's like the fringe world level. Those are the guys that kind of break the ceiling. And then it gets dangerous. Then there's sharks everywhere. But I'm with you, right? You got to roll the dice. Let's see what he can do. And if it is Broner next or someone else, we'll certainly find out if Connor is that person in the next sort of 12 to 18 months. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Up next, this will be an interesting subject. We're going to be reflecting on Katie Taylor's win over Jennifer Han.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After 10 rounds of boxing here at Emerald Headingley Stadium, Leeds, England, we go to the judges' scorecards. Phil Edwards, Leszek Jankowiak, and Luigi Boscarelli are in agreement. 100-89, all for your winner by unanimous decision. She's still undefeated and still the undisputed lightweight champion of the world, Katie Taylor.
Yeah, another win for Katie Taylor. I almost feel like we almost take for granted just how good Katie Taylor is sometimes. We expect special things every time she steps in the ring. You know, if it's a 7 out of 10 performance, people start complaining and people like myself say, is she on the slide, when really and truly, it's just another dominant Katie Taylor win. She beat Jennifer Han on Saturday, takes her record now to 19 fights in the pros, 19 wins. Tash, what did you make of it?
I thought, yeah, again, I agree, it wasn't her best performance, but, you know, she got the job done. She won nearly every single round. So what more can you ask for?
No,
people are a little bit harsh with Katie because I don't think every fight has to be a war. But that's what people want to see. And that's what, when she goes to war with people, that's what the fans like. So, but it doesn't always have to be like that. And, you know, when she boxes, gets on her back foot, and, you know, she was under a little bit of pressure, but a bit more pressure than we're used to seeing from Katie. But, you know, like I say, every fight doesn't have to be, you know, 50-50 wars like it was, but pursuing myself, whoever. So
maybe it's your fault, Tash. Maybe because we saw her in May against you and it was fantastic fight, right? That honestly, I think I was doing something with DAZN and they asked me what was my fight of the year so far. And I said, your fight. I said that fight there was very, very good. Honestly, I said it. I said, Tasha, I thought started slow. And then from round three, it was just war. And it was wonderful. And maybe that's why we're used to seeing Katie in those kind of fights. We expect that. What next for Katie? I mean, there are options, right? There is Jessica McCaskill's asking for a rematch, but that's at 147 pounds. I don't know if Katie's going to be comfortable at that weight. There is the 140-pound tournament that you're there. I mean, no one's going to turn down a Pursoon trilogy, but I don't think she's going to want that at this stage of her career. Amanda Serrano is the one that everyone thinks could be that big sort of breakout fight in America. What do you think she should do next?
For me, I personally think McCaskill would have been there looking at that fight on Saturday and thinking she's there for the taking, like everyone is thinking. And I think she'll be doing her best and utmost to try and get that fight, because she's got her own confidence now. She's an undisputed herself. I don't think where the downfall with that fight is that I don't think that Katie goes up. So either it's going to be at a catch weight or she has to come back down.
That's a problem, by the way, because McCaskill, she looked big. I interviewed her and she looks actually, I mean, I don't know what she's walking around at now, but she must be touching 160. So the idea of her coming down to 135,
And you have to do that. You don't want to be giving away too much weight in the ring, no matter who you are and how hard you can hit. You want it to be as fair as possible when you're in there. So she's built herself up, and to come back down is tough. You know, for me, McCaskill, Serrano, and even Cameron. Serrano is the fight that everyone wants to see. But if I was Chantel, I'd be kicking and screaming down the door of why, if I win my tournament, that I can't have that fight.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Chantel Cameron's obviously got to work with the 140-pound tournament, but she is the favourite for it. So if she does win, I mean, a lot of people for a long time have been saying stylistically, Chantel's a bit of a problem for Katie Taylor. I guess we'll find out in about, 12, 18 months when that tournament is over. Tash, were you ever close to getting the rematch with Katie? Because it's a fight that a lot of people, again, like I said, I thought it was a fight of the year, but a fight a lot of people were saying has to happen again, surely. It was so close. It was so good. It was what we want from female boxing. Why isn't it happening again? Were there any discussions or anything?
Yeah, discussions happened. I think as with most things with boxing, it's always contracts and stuff that, you know, and that always kind of let it down, the business side, I suppose, other than the sport that we watch. But it's no chance. There's no reason that it can't happen again, you know, but there is things like, obviously, there's contractual issues that we're going to have to overcome before that happens.
Do you think we're now at a stage, and this is strange, right? Because hopefully you don't mind me saying your age, Tasha, 37 now, but you're almost at your best. And that's strange, right? You're a mum, you're 37. Some people would have said, okay, you're on the slide. But I think we've seen now, you look at Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, a mum at 34 doing ridiculous things in the sprinting. I mentioned Jennifer Han, who had a baby 7 months ago. Things are changing. Do you almost feel like you're at your best now, like in terms of confidence, ability, where you are in your career?
I just feel like I'm improving every time, and that's what you've got to do. After, obviously, the opener fight, I had to dissect myself in every part, and that was tough because I didn't even know if I wanted it after that. And to come away and mentally, you know, go through that whole rigmarole of dissecting every part here and building yourself back up. I'm now at a point where, yeah, I lost to Katie, but there wasn't much that I did wrong.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a slow start. I think a little bit of championship experience let me down in round 9, more than 10. And it was just, but they're things that they're not impossible to fix. So I know I can be better. And I know I can do better. And I've got the confidence from that fight to be able to move forward and do what needs to be done.
Indeed.
So, I mean, hats off to Han, though, because 7 months after having a baby, that's ridiculous. 7 months after I had my daughter, I couldn't even see my toes. So
it's crazy.
She's done brilliant. And there's being fit and there's being fighting fit. And they're two different types of fit.
Yeah, she said she lost 75 pounds when she got the call to take the fight. And I was like, what? 75 pounds?
Wow.
Here I am, can't lose a couple of pounds. And it's incredible. So, yeah, all power to her. And hopefully she gets another opportunity. She's been, you know, begging for the opportunity. Obviously, featherweight IBF champion herself, never got opportunity. She got it. And just to get it 7 months after having a baby. So it's boxing can be a cruel and unfair sport at times. I want to get your opinion, Tash, just before we go to break, on Ebony Bridges. Now, firstly, we'll talk about her fight. A lot of people said she lost that fight against Melise Gangeloff, French champion, but she got the decision. It's, you know, it wasn't the worst decision in the world. I've seen worse. What do you make of her, though, as just the way in which she sells herself to promote the fight? Some like it, some don't. I'm saying all power to you, right? Whatever you need to do to promote your fight, do it. But some really are against it. Where are you?
You know what? I kind of was a little bit against it when she first came on the scene. I just thought, you know, we're doing all this thing to push us forward, and she pulls us back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I met her. And you know what? She's so clever.
Mm.
And, you know, she, everything that we're saying Conor Bendo, she does, but she does herself and markets herself. So,
yeah,
you know, he can do it. Why can't she?
Agreed.
Floyd Mayweather was Pretty Boy Floyd before he was Money Mayweather. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, there's lots of boxers, male boxers, that sell themselves on their looks and, you know, being a pretty boy and being good looking.
Mm.
So why is it any different that a female does it?
I couldn't agree anymore. Like, I was a bit like that before I saw her and met her and sat down and spoke. I was like, what was she doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, people have tried so hard to kind of not bring the sport down and what she's doing with the bikini. You sit with her and that's a very, very smart girl that knows exactly what she's doing. Obviously, she's a teacher back in Australia. She sold herself to the point where she's been over here now, what, 3 times? She's going to come over again. Leeds fans went crazy for her. She hopes she doesn't mind me telling this. She sells her socks online. I mean, maybe even a few other things as well. Like, you know, she's doing great stuff. All she cares about is getting herself out there. And what I like about her, aside from all of that, she goes in and she fights. So you can do all of the stuff you can do, but she goes in and has a scrap. And you've got to take your hats off to anyone that gets in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, we all did it when she was fighting Shannon Courtney.
Mm.
And anyone that didn't is a liar. Everyone that says we were lying, but we was all like, oh, here she is, boxing Barbie. Here she is. She's going to get in the ring and be terrible.
Mm.
And I spoke to her before that fight because I was working on comms and I wanted to get a little bit of inside information. And she was dead confident. I was like, why is this girl so confident? Because I'd spoken to some of the amateur Australians who said, you know, she didn't have a great amateur career. You know, she hasn't really blew up the scene over there. So I was like, why is she so confident? And I could only find, I think, one or two fights online. I was like, judging by this, like, she shouldn't be this confident.
Mm.
But I said on the comms on that night, I said, look, she knows something we don't because she's very confident. And she came in that fight. And I think it was that. Because we all had this stereotype misconception of who she was and what she was going to be and what she was going to do, that when she could actually fight, we was all like, hats off to you, girl. Even, you know, myself as a female boxer, I was like, go away, girl. You've done us proud there.
Yeah, honestly. And she's starting to get a following. She's actually, I spoke to her and I said, look, when are you going back home to Australia? And she's like, well, there's no flights until October, so I'm here. So she's now in Leeds. She's going around all the gyms. She does so much stuff behind the scenes that we don't see. She goes to like local gyms, local community centres, meets people, signs autographs. So she's doing things the right way. Whether or not, I don't know. I know she wants a Shannon Courtney fight, but Shannon will beat her again as far as I'm concerned. I think it'll be even a bit wider this time. Whether or not she gets that, and Eddie might give it to her because, again, she brings eyes to the sport is another thing. I want to quickly, just before we go to the break, touch on what you said in terms of your own career and where you are. When are you out next? October 9th, right?
We're trying. Hopefully I can get on that card. Nothing's been confirmed.
You've got to get on that card. I mean, come on.
I'm still waiting. I know. It's like, it's probably the best card in Liverpool for, since Smith Dodson, probably.
Yeah.
So, and local pride I'm talking about.
You can't leave your house. There's a few people on that card. If you lose, you have to like stay in your house for about a month.
Listen, you can't walk around town. You're going to be off social media. There's a lot of things that's happening if you don't win that fight. So, and the good thing for, you know, I'm not going to say the neutral because there is no neutral, but you're going to pick a side and you're going to have to stick to it.
Indeed. It should be good. When do you find out, Tash, if you're on it?
Hopefully by the end of the week.
Okay. That's good. I mean, it'll be a good addition for you to be. I mean, you've got to be. If not, then, I mean, serious questions need to be asked as to why. But fingers crossed you are. All right, you're listening to Fighter Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, it's in partnership with DAZN. Your boxing, your way, DAZN game change. Up next, we are going to speak about a bit of MMA. I'm also going to continue the discussion about Tasha and her career so far.
Jonas was good. She has got through, and she has that power. Body shots back from Jonas. The Orthodox and the Southpaw have meshed beautifully tonight, and it's another wonderful advert for women's boxing.
Final extra of myself, Adiola Dupo, world title challenger, Tasha Jonas. Tasha, you know, I was just thinking, you've had two fantastic fights against Terry Harper and Katie Taylor, both behind closed doors. So you've not actually had, like, a crazy fan base going mad for you, and both of those were great fights. You must be itching to fight in front of fans.
Just in case. I think I might need to keep them behind closed doors, just in case. But no, I mean, especially in your hometown, I think, you know, there's great stages, you know, Madison Square Garden, you know, Wembley, they're all great stages to want to box, like boxing meccas, but, you know, no one can beat, there's no place like home.
That home, Echo Arena. Again, we keep our fingers crossed for October 9th. What next for you though, Tash, in terms of your next, I don't know if you've planned it out, your next sort of 12, 18 months. You mentioned Madison Square Garden. Obviously, look, as an amateur, you would have fought all over the world. But, I mean, do you not have those dreams and aspirations about fighting in venues like that? Maybe on the undercard or maybe even, you know, main event, but I say undercard just because AJ's the guy that sells out Wembley all the time. You know, those massive, massive events. Do you not dream of those? Or is it just a case of next fight, get a win, we'll see what happens next?
I mean, you can't ever look past your next fight. And I've learned that mistake the hard way. So, but, you know, of course, what you do, you know, you ask any boxer, amateur or pro, and they'll tell you, you know, where it is. It's normally Madison Square Garden or Vegas, you know, Wembley, you know, Cardiff. They're the big arenas that you want to be on. And, you know, you've just got to work your way up there. And I think finally I've put to bed that kind of uncertainty that people had of whether I was at that level or not. Yeah, and I think people appreciate that I am there now, and I've just got to go and, you know, in my right to be there and have them fights again, whether that be a Katie Taylor, whether that be a Harper, whether that be, you know, a McCaskill. I've literally said anyone from 130 to one, as high as 147 is in my target.
Yeah, I saw you tweet it and it kind of brought a smile to my face because I'm like, go girl, go and get, literally go and get everything you can get. And I like what you said there as well about, you know, you put to bed the question marks about you, like, okay, look, good amateur, but, you know, what's she like as a pro? Especially remember when you got stopped in that fight back in 2018, people were like, oh, you know, Tasha's good, but is she really there? And it's funny, although it was a draw against Terry and it should have been a win, but it was a draw and it was a loss against Katie, you're in everyone's lips. Everyone's saying Tasha versus that person, Tasha versus this person. So you've not taken a step back in a loss, which is quite unheard of because you know what boxing's like. You lose once and everyone thinks you're garbage.
Yeah, no, my stock's definitely risen, which is a nice thing. I just appreciate that. You know, I'm in the conversation because there was a for a long time I wasn't.
Indeed. All right, let's quickly switch. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk a bit of MMA. I know you was flicking through the boxing and the MMA over the weekend, and understandably so, a big Liverpool interest on UFC on the weekend. Let's start with a good friend of yours, Molly McCann, got the win. I'm so happy for her because the UFC is so cutthroat. You lose three in a row and that's it, right? They're cutting you. She got a win, a good win. Not only did she get a win, she got 50 G's as well for it as a bit of a bonus.
I can't wait for that rule to be introduced into boxing.
Yeah. Is there no incentive like that? Do you think that's important, an incentive like that, the performance of the night bonuses? What's your thoughts on it?
I don't know. I think you go in there with, you know, your plan to win, obviously, and they are just added bonuses. But what a bonus. And, you know, and I don't know how extra hard she trains for that. But I think any fight with Molly, to be honest, you know, she wears her heart on her sleeve. Mm. She's always gutsy. She's slightly insane. But, you know what you're getting with her, and she'll always give 100%. And I'm absolutely made up for it. I tried a little bit of MMA over the lockdown. And, you know, I'm an armchair MMA fan. So I sit there and I think, oh, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do that? And when I was actually in there training with Molly and I was just doing this and just doing that, I realised why they didn't.
Yeah.
It's so hard. It's very technical. It's so hard. So I know what she puts in the gym, and I'm made up for it.
Paddy Pimblett made his UFC debut, got the win. People have been screaming for him, Paddy the Baddy, to be in the UFC for ages. He's kind of said, nope, not ready. He's ready now. Not only does he, again, he gets a 50 grand bonus as well for his knockout of the night. Liverpool is starting to put the UFC on the map again. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, he even got, you know, his chin checked a little bit.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He wasn't one bit bothered. And that's just Paddy. That's Paddy all over. It was a great stoppage. And yeah, you don't give fighters enough respect for being able to say, you know what, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready for that yet. Mm. And that's a brave step, because the UFC is such a huge organization that if they offer you something, you don't want to say no, because you might never get that option again. And he was saying, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And then he got his night, and boy, did he have his day.
Yeah, he had his day indeed. I mean, everyone talks about UFC jitters. And I mean, he got cracked, as you say, a few times there, and he just... nothing was going to stop him on that night. Absolutely nothing. A bit disappointing for Darren Till. Obviously, he lost to Derek Brunson. He'll come again. And again, that's the thing I guess I like with MMA, where you can have 5, 6, 7, 8 losses. It doesn't matter. I mean, you'll get those opportunities again. And Darren Till's obviously lost, I think, 4 of his last 5. But it's the UFC, so he'll get another opportunity.
Yeah, and I think it's with Darren as well. It's the level that he's at.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at that, you know, the top 10. And he's moved up as well. It's always going to be tough, like I said, when, you know, with the same with Ben. There's going to be no easy fights from now on. I remember Joe saying to me before the Harper fight, said, once you walk through this door, you're never going to turn back. You can't go back to just be like we're saying with Katie. Mm. She can't just go back to having like a little 4-round knockover, because that's not the level she's at. When she's been the champ and being at that level, she's always going to have to, you know, stand up to challenges from that level. And that's the same with Darren.
Indeed it is. I just want to quickly touch on this. Just got about a minute left here, Tash. When Molly got the money and Tom Aspinall also got a performance of the night bonus, I think we saw all the emotion sort of pour out of them, right? I mean, we know how difficult it is financially. A lot of people have questioned, like, you know, should they be so excited for 50 grand? I mean, how much are the UFC paying these people? Like, Tom Aspinall was co-main event, right? I mean, he didn't get paid that much, and Molly probably didn't get paid either. Does it show, maybe again, that the UFC, as well as putting on great fight cards, maybe ain't paying these guys enough?
Everything's a business, and the people at the top of the business want to make money. So, well, it doesn't always get filtered all the way down, you know. And that's just unfortunate for us athletes. You know, you keep the ones that are going to make you the most money, like your Conor McGregor's, like your Anthony Joshua's. Mm. They've got big pull power, because they pull a lot of money themselves. If they went somewhere else, they'd take all that pull power with them, and they don't want that. So they look after the top ones, and sometimes you've got to have a mouth to stay in it.
Maybe, indeed. Tash, it's been great. Same time next week.
Yeah, definitely. Without the
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.